Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by quite a number of Sangha joining me here on the West Porch at the monastery, all of whom were in attendance at the 11th annual Golden Gay Bridge Walk this past Saturday and have generously agreed to be with me to talk about their experience of being at the Bridge Walk. So who would like to start us off? Phil.
I really enjoyed the whole idea that it's a Sangha party and that you see people that you haven't seen. You know, we've seen people that we haven't seen for a long time, and yet it's a safe Sangha party, or it's like a family reunion that's safe. You know, people don't get into your business. But at the same time, you can really enjoy people and have a good time. And I appreciated, I love all the aspects of it, but I thought the Sangha market was a really good addition, and it was made it quite interesting to see all the wonderful things that the Sangha are doing.
Yeah, that's really fun. So I know I was talking to a couple of folks as we were walking across the bridge about that, how it's such a good practice to be in the privileged environment, but in a different way than we're used to being, but still not being personal, not chit-chatting, but just simply being with each other in sort of this festive tone, but still having that privileged environment. And then, yes, the Sangha market piece was lovely. There were, I don't know, a dozen or so vendors, quite a number of people there with things that they've done largely for the 300 for 1,000 project in this year of deepening practice, but also other kinds of things. And so that was really fun to get to kind of peruse all the creative things that people have made and get to spend money and know that, you know, I'm buying this thing that I really love and all the proceeds are going to help the children in Africa. So, yeah, it's a win-win. Who else?
I think this year, particularly more than other years, I really appreciated the African dancing that Jackie leads us in. For some reason, this year, I just really found it great fun to just be uninhibited and just dance and enjoy what she was teaching us and enjoying other people doing that and enjoying that little connection with Africa. I don't know, it was just really fun. And I think one of my particularly fun moments in it was when she got us going through it at the end with some people sort of up front leading us. And one of them was one of the younger Sangha members who was 7 years old and who totally knew what he was doing and just enjoyed every moment of it.
Jackie's an amazing performer and an amazing teacher, in my experience. She really knows how to get people participating in a way, kind of back to what Phil was saying, that's really quite safe. And who knows if it will happen, but she and I talked about, she has a group of folks that she performs with back in Canada that includes the thumb piano, the mbira, they call it, in Zimbabwe and Zambia. And so she talked about maybe coming down with them next year, which would be a really beautiful added element. Who else would like to talk about their experience?
One of the things I loved was the putting things up and taking things down process. Being that it was Sangha, it was quite, you know, energizing and fun and kind of amazing, especially when we were taking things down when the bridge walk had finally ended. And people just showed up from everywhere and said, "How can I help?" And then they would just plug in wherever they were asked, and there was no resistance. And before we knew it, the whole thing had been completely disassembled and things were being taken to the cars. And it was just such a, I don't know, just such a beautiful experience of people working together.
It's funny because when we were planning it, of course, we look over, okay, who's coming to the walk? And let's see. So let's invite some people who would be willing to come and help us set up before. And we realized, wow, back to sort of the family reunion thing. We could actually invite everyone on the list to come and participate and set it up. So we thought maybe next year we'll just say, okay, lunch is served at noon. You're welcome to come anytime after 10. There won't be any tents up yet, but just come. And that's really how it feels, isn't it?
Yeah.
Truly, in the space of 6 hours, it goes from being a blank field to completely festive with all these things there back to a blank field. It's very practiced, kind of leave not a trace. Yeah. Who else? Heading down the porch here.
It was so much fun to be here this year. Coming from the East Coast, this has been my second bridge walk. I think it was like 8 years ago when I was at the first time. About the African dancing, which I loved, I just thought I'd share that it's based on the daily activities of the people who live there. So we were taught we were going to make some bread. Mm-hmm. And so it was all about every group of steps was some aspect of making bread, gathering the grain. I'm not going in the proper steps, but rocking the baby, milling the grain, stirring the dough. And it was just a beautiful thing to see how the culture incorporates their life into their dance. And it was really inspiring for that. And then just to be with Sangha on the West Coast is a real privilege and a real joy.
It is so fun for us West Coasters that so many East Coasters come out for it. That's really, really fun. And I appreciated that, too, about the dancing, that each move in the dance is a piece of just everyday life. And actually, I was joking with Jackie about that, at how, in the United States, we go out and we exercise. In Africa, they just live life, right? That is exercise. That is dance. That is celebration. That is movement. Yeah. Who else?
What I appreciated was, I don't know if it's a lack of ability to navigate the big city, but when the monastery offered if they would pick me up and chauffeur me to the bridge walk and then chauffeur me to the monastery and be here for precepts, would I then come to the bridge walk? It's like kind of hard to turn down such a hospitable offer, so I'm really grateful for that offer and glad to be able to participate in my first bridge walk.
Oh, that's really fun. Yeah, it worked out beautifully this year to connect it with, we're headed into, and I guess it's tomorrow actually, the Precepts Renewal Retreat, which is the 25th anniversary of Precepts Retreat's beginning. So for a number of folks, they were able to join us for both things, so that really worked out well. Who else?
Well, I'm from the East Coast, and this was my first bridge walk, and just the experience of walking across the Golden Gate Bridge was incredible. It was gorgeous. And so there it was. The walk was beautiful. The weather was beautiful. And, you know, knowing that in my walk, I was actually raising funds. So my walk was a beautiful walk. It was heart-opening for me. I had a great time. And, you know, the bottom line was is that funds were raised for the children.
Really fun. I got an email from Teresa the next day on Sunday saying, we thought about you all day. And she used the cutest phrase, something like, and I was sitting with the team and all the children doing my level best to explain to them how special the event is. So just that, you know, how would you explain walking across this gigantic bridge and the views? And, yeah, that's really my experience, too.
So my plane landed 2 hours after the bridge walk ended, so I technically missed the bridge walk. However, I got to say, because of the efforts that, you know, we had been hearing from Teresa and hearing about it all, you know, beforehand, and then I made a point to listen to Kentalumba Sings, the great recordings that you can purchase on Sangha Market. And I, you know, listened to that on the plane and just did what, you know, all these different things to feel connected. And so I just, and plus I have my T-shirt waiting for me when I get home, you know, it was mailed. So there are just all kinds of ways that even far-flung Sangha can feel a part of it.
That's nice to hear. Where every year we kind of do, hopefully do more and more to make it not just one event, but really a season of celebrating the work in Kentalumba and really everyone's participation in that. Anyone else before we begin the show? We got one more up here.
I wanted to second almost everything that has been said. I'm from the East Coast, too. It was my first bridge walk, and being there in person to feel the energy, to feel like you're part of this great community. It seems like two communities helping each other, but there's less and less of a separation the more I participate.
Really well said. Thank you so much. And so far, I'm positive there's more money coming in, but so far we've tallied $95,000. So, yep, we're getting a round of applause here on the West Porch. So thanks, everyone, very much, and hopefully we'll see more and more of you at the 12th annual, and Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you all those folks on the West Porch. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was fun, huh?
Yeah, it was, and it was a fun bridge walk, too, huh?
Yeah.
We were there. We had
took me right. Took me right back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Great. How are you?
Excellent. The party goes on here at the monastery, as you can tell.
Yes.
Yes. We're having a good time. We're partying like only Buddhists can. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad.
You're
I'm
over
glad
your
to be
little
here.
Sniffles and.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, and I'm always grateful, as I set up for the show, that I have this commitment that requires me to show up. It's just a big blessing.
Uh huh. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, people just don't realize how helpful it is to have scheduled lives. Not overly scheduled lives, but something that makes us turn our attention to practice regularly.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. And I have some announcements here.
Right.
Everyone is invited to the annual New Year's Retreat with you, Sherry. That's December 27th through January 1st in our new location in Menlo Park.
Beautiful Menlo Park.
Yes. It's our largest retreat of the year and includes meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, delicious vegetarian food, and free time to spend in nature on the center's spacious grounds.
And what's the most important part of all?
Private,
not so much for you, okay, but for those of us who are used to country living and different level of luxury in their retreat accommodations. Hmm?
Yes, private baths attached to those private rooms.
I mean, talk about a good way to bring in a new year.
Yes, time to take a deep breath on that one, huh?
Right. Oh,
yes.
The little things in life, isn't it?
Yes. And this is the last week to sign up for a new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies. The program offers the opportunity to connect with a participant in another part of the country or even another country on a weekly basis for 30 minutes of practice support.
Yeah, it's kind of that same thing, isn't it? It's another way to make sure that there's something that I have to pay attention to and show up for in a way that I step out of my regular busy life and turn my attention exclusively to practice for a period of time and with someone else who is practicing, which is nice. A lot of folks, you know, meditate alone or most of their practices are, you know, they're kind of their sole support for them. But something like the radio show, something like Reflective Listening Buddies, it's a way to connect with the rest of Sangha and very helpful.
Yes. And the last day to sign up for the new quarter is October 1st.
Okay.
Finally, we have a Rest and Be Thankful weekend retreat at the monastery. That's October 19th through 21st. An opportunity to allow silence, give rise to the ever-present gratitude of our lives. I love that description.
And it's a mighty pretty place to be at that time of year.
Yes, it is. In the schedule is time for meditation, group discussion, a workshop, and rest. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started. first caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris. How are you doing?
Not too badly, thanks.
Good.
Thank you for caring. I got a little inquisitorial email from the guest master last week.
Uh-huh.
Well, we both did, and inquiring as to our well-being, essentially.
Uh-huh.
So I promised a return email to give a call tonight.
Good, good. So, you know, there are people out there who are thinking about you and care how you're doing, so it's always good to check in, huh?
Yes, it is, and I appreciate it. Frankly, it's been slowly, this year particularly, slowly drifting away from doing practice. I've been calling really religiously every six weeks, and that really kind of fell apart this year, and I missed one, then I missed another one. And my forgetting to call has increased. But the reflective listening buddies I've stayed with, that's been a good reminder. But it's
that's what happens, isn't it? And it's easy to have it happen. I mean, there's just as you say, you know, I forget, and then the next time it comes around, it's that much easier to forget because I forgot
mm-hmm.
last time. And then at some point, I'm not even forgetting. It's just not a part of my conscious awareness any longer.
Mm-hmm. And the weird thing, too, at least to me, is that I wasn't completely unconscious throughout this whole process. Like I said, I've stuck with reflective listening buddies, and I would listen. I mean, I rarely listen to the radio show live. It doesn't work out schedule-wise, but, you know, I listen to the... Well, actually, that's the thing. I stopped listening to the archives. I started listening to a commercial-free jazz station. and that has absorbed my attention tremendously. But I've cranked that back up and wearing the beads sell away. And it's just, and the thing is, I haven't been in misery. And I think that's the trickiest part or one of the most subtlest or trickiest ways that I didn't really jump back to practice is that, you know, I wasn't living in the kind
it.
Of yeah,
yeah
right
yeah yeah you know that's been coming up a lot. We just finished an email class and I was encouraging people along those lines that if we use practice to make ourselves feel better. Now, of course, we want to use practice to make ourselves feel better. That is, you know, people start practice because they want to end suffering. And so we go along and practice works. We're doing it. We're really liking it. We're having a great time. And our lives start getting easier and better and we're happier and we're just not troubled the way we used to be. And that's when we drift away. And, of course, the bad news about that is that we drift away, and mm-hmm. as you say, you know, you're not in misery. In fact, you're doing fine. And over time, of course, then conditioning seeps back in through all the little cracks that it's making
mm-hmm.
until it's taken over, and then it wakes a person up and goes, well, you're really miserable, and didn't you do awareness practice, and weren't you happy, and why did you stop? And, of course, the person believes that rather than being able to turn around and say, but you were the one who drugged me. And so then the person feels bad and the beatings start and, you know, it's another whole round. So the combination there is, one, when we receive a lot from practice, that's our signal to give back, not actually to just kind of cruise along giving all of the benefits, essentially, we don't realize it, but giving it to egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was on retreat for 2 weeks last year at this time, and that was a long, 2 weeks as long as I've been there, and I was planning on taking a month away in the air, then my wife had got her medical issues, so I didn't go, and then And it's funny because back in October a year ago, I would have, you know, it's like, it's what I would have projected that practice was, you know, building up a big head of steam, and then it just kind of went nowhere. And
yeah.
in the year of deepening practice turned into me for the year of whatever, lessening practice.
Yeah. Well, and now, again, so that, you know, it doesn't turn into a, and aren't you a bad person, you know, what happens, what we fall for, I mean, you guys, for a long time, it wasn't just your practice, it was a family practice, right? And practice was, you were practicing hard, and it was supporting you through difficult times with, you know, raising kids and, you know, helping the kids with the everything that's going on with them. And then, as you say, you know, some real family health issues come up, and there are all of these difficulties, and you're really practicing, and you come through with flying colors. And the temptation at that point to just, you know, it's kind of like the, we made it through, you know, so the hard times, it kind of feels like the hard times are sort of behind us right now. And what gets put behind us at the same time is practice. And we don't realize that those two being so closely linked through the difficulty, right? If times are difficult, we're really practicing. We're getting through it. Times are difficult, we're really practicing. When times are no longer difficult, it seems almost reasonable. Why should we practice so hard?
Mm-hmm.
So it's understandable how we fall for it. It's just really good when
yeah,
you recognize how it works.
Yes, and I'm not going for the aren't I a bad person. That's not
good.
Coming up, and it's really, it's just more, now I need to figure out a way to recommit. See, on the flip side, I could say, okay, then have conditioning set up a schedule that I won't keep of
right.
nonstop, all these different things. And, yeah, I need
yeah,
to reintegrate these things.
You have to give up jazz. And what you need to do is, yeah, you need to meditate for an hour every morning and every night. And, yeah, so it'll just be the next way of putting a wedge between you and practice. And you know, the thing about it, for me anyway, I am really aware, it can sound kind of morbid or pessimistic or something, but I don't experience it that way because I find practice to be a really joyful thing in my life. But I'm aware that I practice for the bad times. Because I know that they're going to come around.
I miss you said I'm aware that I practice
for the bad times.
Oh, for the bad times, yeah.
Yeah. I want to be at the top of my game when things start to go in a direction that is probably not going to be one that I was hoping for. And and we all know that that's going to happen to us. We know it. And so if we are completely tuned up in the loving kindness and compassion department, then whatever opportunities we are asked to face, we're as ready as we can be. So if practice adds more joy to our lives in the kind of neutral times, it adds more joy to our lives in the good times, and it's there to support and sustain us in the bad times, you know, there's just really not an argument for not doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
even makes you more appreciative of good jazz.
Of good what?
Jazz.
Oh yes, thank you. So you, at least on my end, I don't know what if you're cutting out just a little tiny bit, and I'm missing a little bit of a word here and there. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. As you've noticed, I don't mind repeating myself.
Yes, I've noticed, and I appreciate that.
All right. Well, it's great to hear from you. The family's good?
Yes.
Good. That's excellent.
And yes, and actually, I'm at work in my car, about to leave. But next week is my Tuesday off, so I can call again.
Try to check in with us again. Good.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have an important message coming up, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air.
Now, wasn't that fun?
I was going to say exactly that same line. That was great. That was great.
Good, huh? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Those coaches, they're ready.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Good to bring some more awareness to the awareness coaches.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's what we were just talking about with Chris. You know, we all need support. And it's one thing if we live somewhere where there are people around us who are practicing in the same way we practice. I mean, you know, people are doing some kind of practice everywhere, but practicing as we practice. But for folks who are kind of off on their own and they are their own sangha, to have that kind of support to stay with practice is really helpful and important.
Oh. Yes, and what I hear and what you're saying is a real inclusiveness of practice to realize that people are out there on their own, and really to, you know, all the ways that practice offers opportunities. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to have, you know, it's, again, the image that probably all of us would use for this. You know, I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to go out every morning and, you know, right.
Yes.
But if I have somebody else, then that, you know, that doubles my chances of getting out there. And
yes,
it's the same kind of process.
Yes. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sherry, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, it's a pleasure. What's going on with you?
I need help with a pattern of suffering.
Hmm. Say more about that.
I have a chronic illness, and when I have to go see my doctor, it's always a really tough, awful day, because in the course of the appointment with the doctor, there are always disturbing new diagnoses that get revealed and disturbing test results and confusing protocols, and it's just heavy duty overwhelmment. And I just get very overwhelmed, and then I get depressed. It's like, I guess it's the little kid in me who just gets into helpless mode, and it feels really crazy. When I'm having all these appointments with and there's so much information and so much stuff I got to do, and there's so much new stuff they find wrong, it's just such an awful overwhelming spiral into overwhelm. But I know you say in your books that the content is irrelevant. So
say is some irrelevant content is a lot harder to deal with than other irrelevant content. Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't want to take a statement like that as a way of minimizing what somebody goes through. It's just that all the same rules apply, right?
Well, how do I get out of this pattern of suffering? Because
okay,
I have to go to the appointments.
Let me ask you this. How often do you have to go?
Usually every 3 weeks, and it could be more.
Do you feel comfortable saying what's going on?
Yes, Lyme disease.
Okay, so, all right. So somebody has diagnosed you with this, and you didn't get treated immediately. True?
Correct.
So now you're in the what happens to people who didn't get treated immediately.
Correct.
Okay. And so have you taken the step of becoming the world's foremost expert on this disease?
Absolutely, which is why when the doctor finds new and disturbing diagnosis and test results, I'm really disturbed.
Because do you believe it?
Yes.
You do. You know, the part that's interesting to me is, what's the testing beyond the fact that you have this disease?
Well, in the alternative and complementary medicine doctors, they it has these kinds of infections have very far-reaching impact on the immune system and the nervous system and everything. So
okay. Now, let me ask you this. How much of your suffering, and are you experiencing the things that they're diagnosing, or do they just kind of you're going along and they give you the latest test results and then you have to go, oh my God, not that too? In other words, do you go in there and say, you know, this is happening to me, and they say, oh well, that can be the result of da 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 da, or do they just test you and then say, oh well, this is happening and that's happening and that's happening and you're going to have to watch out for that and that's probably going to happen? Is it A or B?
It's both.
Okay, so sometimes things are going on with you, and you ask about it, and they tell you what they think it is. But other times, they just come up with stuff, and they inform you.
Well, it's both because I am always, you know, struggling with very bad symptoms and trying to get help with that. And they're always doing very aggressive diagnostics, so there's always new information coming in.
Okay. You know, Elizabeth, here's the deal for me. It all depends on how gutsy you are. It really does. Because I'll just tell you a little something about me, okay? I would rather have any set of symptoms than deal with the craziness of medical people. That's just
uh-huh.
me. That's just me. And what I hear from what you're saying is that you're far more... There's far more suffering in what you're attempting to do to get cured than there is in the disease.
No doubt.
Yeah. So, again, it depends on how gutsy you are. You know, in my experience, I'll just lay this out as a little, and then you can extrapolate and apply and all of that sort of thing. What happens to people is that they get a diagnosis. Right? And then all of the attention gets focused on the diagnosis. Now, if you go down the experts track, then you get started on a regimen that takes the rest of your focus. Okay? And the focus is on what's wrong and what you need to do in order to be all right. Now, that is, I could be saying that about everything in life. It's not just illness, right? The focus gets turned to what's wrong and what you need to do in order to be all right. It could be your finances, it could be your relationship, it could be your job, it could be your anything, right? That's how conditioned mind works. And then the obsession starts because the belief is that you need to do something and you can do something in order to make these symptoms go away, and when these symptoms go away, then you will be all right. But most of us, if we're honest, will admit that we weren't all right before we got the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my encouragement, and I know what there a huge percentage of the world population would have to say about me as a result of what I'm going to say to you, but I'm going to say it anyway. To me, the very best thing that you could do for yourself, for your health and well-being, for your body, mind, emotions, spirit, is to embrace the being, the person who has this situation, with all the unconditional love and acceptance that exists in the universe. Because everything else is conditional, and everything else will result in suffering, whether your body is cured or not. Get a sense of that?
Embrace myself and the child within me with all the unconditional love that is in the universe.
That's exactly right. And there's nothing conditional about it. Okay, so if you're going to, I mean, to me that would be job one for whatever period of time you decide, and then you see where you are. Don't put yourself through yet another horror story, yet another whatever it is that's going on. You take the time that you need for yourself to get in touch with everything that's going on with you, to be the best friend to your body that you can possibly be, to reassure every part of you every part of you is loved unconditionally, regardless of circumstances and content.
I guess my question is, I'm embracing the self with Lyme disease with all the unconditional love that exists in the universe.
All of you. Because here's the thing. Before you had that disease, you needed to be embraced unconditionally. That's how you would be healed. That's how you would work out your own salvation diligently. That's how you would be prepared to live and to die. Then that little tick came along, and now you have this condition, and the rules are exactly the same. And when you are over this, which there's nothing to say you won't be, when you are over this, the same requirements will be in effect.
What about the pattern of suffering with the heavy-duty overwhelmment when I go to these appointments?
Well, I mean, that's just it. I mean, that's the part that I personally would eliminate, at least for a while.
Are you
saying
eliminate the appointments?
Because what you're describing as aggressive diagnoses, isn't that what you called it?
Aggressive everything.
Yeah. Well, how can that be helpful? So while you're taking a break from all of this aggression, you might look around and see if there are healthcare providers who come from a place of compassion and loving kindness. Here's the deal. We are all going to die, and there are actually worse things than dying. Okay? Like living in a place of misery, suffering, overwhelm, confusion, horror, based on trying to do something to yourself that's going to make you different so that you will be acceptable.
But I thought the content is irrelevant, so there's a way to deal with this pattern of suffering. So I can go to the appointments and not suffer.
I'm attempting to offer that to you.
By not.
But if what you're saying, what to me, what you just said is the equivalent of, but if I'm an alcoholic, isn't there a way that I can continue to work as a bartender? Why would you want to do that?
Are you saying stop going to this doctor and pursuing these treatments and these appointments?
That I'm saying that's what I would do.
Well, I'm really shocked and confused because I thought that, you know, I thought in your books that the pattern of patterns of suffering caused by EKC is what causes me to suffer.
That's right.
And not the content.
That's right. That's exactly right. However, if we stay in the same content, then what are we trying to achieve? So what you're suggesting is you can add another layer. So there you are, engaged in something that makes you miserable, that you describe as aggressive, and it makes you miserable. And you should be able to do something to yourself that will make it all right that you put yourself in a position that makes you miserable. You with me?
Yeah, but this is the best doctor and the best ways to treat Lyme disease.
Well, you don't know that.
Comparative to the other doctor.
That's what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is that you become the expert. That you become the best doctor for your body.
Okay, I'm really taken aback and thrown for a loop your answer.
You can look at it. You can look at it for a while and see if you get out of that loop. Again, I always like to point out to people that confusion is a result of going to conditioned mind for an answer, for clarity. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, if you continue to stick your hand in the fire and get burned, and I suggest that you might stop for a while and see if there's another way to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, and you say, but this is the best way to do this, well, there you are.
But isn't my EKC the cause of my suffering?
Yes, and I think it's making the decisions in your life.
No doubt there. Okay, well, I don't want to drag this on too much. Thank you.
All right. Look at it. Let me know what you see.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Lisa from Seattle.
Well, hello, Lisa. How are you?
Hi. Well, I'm doing just great.
Good.
Except I've been a little bit disconnected from practice. So I can kind of do a ditto of most of Chris's stuff, minus the jazz.
You can do a ditto on most of what he said.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I was so there for myself during my medical crisis.
Uh-huh.
I was really present. And I can absolutely relate to everything that the last caller said and everything you said to the last caller. I was right there in the same place. And through that whole thing was really, really completely accepting of myself and the person who was going through it. And I became my own best doctor, my own best expert.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So
an expert who loved you unconditionally.
Yes, and who wanted to do the best thing for me. So the doctors all wanted to do, you know, pretty what I consider to be very invasive treatments, and very possibly unnecessary treatments.
Uh-huh.
And very systemic things that I didn't want to have in my body. I didn't think I needed. So I sought out different treatment, and I, you know, did everything, all the research that I needed to do, talked to tons of people, and came up with what I thought was the best thing, you know, for me.
Uh-huh.
And I feel great.
Uh-huh.
And I feel wonderful. And at my last test, there was no cancer.
Good for you.
So I'm completely cancer-free at the moment. And the best thing is, I feel great after the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Which the things that they wanted to put me through, I wouldn't have felt great.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah. And so if we used that old Zen expression, through the whole thing, you trained as if your hair was on fire? Is that pretty accurate?
I would say so, through at least the beginning parts of it. So the first 2, 3, maybe even 4 months, I was, you know, really, really there, really practicing, doing everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then I think that, sorry.
No, go ahead.
So then, I don't even really know exactly what happened, but I think what it is I made it through the immediate crisis and then kind of relaxed and didn't have to practice.
Yes.
Like my hair was on fire.
Yes.
And so I didn't.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And then, you know, just outside things happened to make it so it was the daily things dropped away. So my schedule changed. So it started where I got really sick, separate from the cancer. So I got really sick. And then we went on vacation. And then I started working full time, which was really stressful. And I don't know, the daily stuff is really hard.
Uh-huh.
The big things I can handle.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Throw cancer at me. I'm great.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting up and going to work and getting the family off.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not so
yeah,
much.
Doing homework with the kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That I had really, you know, so I got completely distracted by this busy life, which busy is good, but it was a completely different schedule for me.
Yeah.
And it was actually a little too much all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Of what I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I had a busy schedule, and then I added full-time work to it.
Right. And then we go into survival, and when we go into survival, we know who we turn to support us.
Yeah. And
it's not practice.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I think that I didn't turn back to practice because it wasn't really bad. You know,
yes.
I wasn't getting beatings. And I wasn't feeling bad.
Yep.
And I wasn't, you know,
well,
everything was just going along fine.
You said it perfectly. You weren't practicing because you didn't have to.
No, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd like to echo Chris's statement, and then I appreciate the reminder email from Master. You know, just kind of little shot in the arm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I have the website up for signing up for Reflective Listening Buddies because I missed the last one.
Uh-huh. And it's important, isn't it? Because what you're indicating is critical for all of us. You know, life is busy and that's good. And then the stress begins to build. And if we don't have anything supporting us besides the voices in our heads, we can see how quickly it can turn against us. And now it's not just a little too busy, and it's not just a little stressful. It's really too busy, and it's really stressful. And what we don't, you know, what it doesn't occur to us to turn to is the thing that's going to take care of my heart, the thing that's going to actually calm me down and bring some respite and relief into my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see from where I am right now, having not really practiced for the last 5 months, that if there was another crisis, or another really difficult thing right now, I'm not sure that I would have the same response, the same wherewithal to go to that place of acceptance and unconditional love and, you know, I'm going to be okay. I can, you know, everything's good. I can do this.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so, it's humbling and it's inspiring to consider that there you were coming into that really difficult time at the peak of your game.
Yeah.
To be so taken care of by life in that way. And not, again, not in a, you know, a guilt-producing way, but that our way of saying thank you is to give back to life. And the fastest way to give back to life is simply to be present.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm very thankful that I was there at the time that I needed to be there and that, you know, and now I'm brought back to awareness of where I need to keep going.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank
I'm happy.
So much.
I'm happy on every level. You got a good checkup, and everything is good.
Yes.
All right.
It is. All
yeah.
right. Thank you
keep
so much.
Keep in touch.
I will.
All right.
Okay. Bye bye. Good night.
Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jen.
Hi.
Hello.
What's going on in, well, not all of Pennsylvania. We can't talk about that. Just how about your life?
Yeah, I can't speak for all of it, but... well, I'm excited to get through. I tried a few times since I have been home from my time at the monastery, and yeah, it's just really good to hear your voices and all of that.
I know that those people are out there on the west porch and they're all listening in, and you know that feeling, huh? Tuesday night.
Exactly. I suspect there might be dogs playing and all kinds of wonderful stuff going on, and yeah, it's a good feeling.
Because you were a visiting monk. For a month.
Yes.
Yes, a fabulous program that other people who are thinking, wow, I wonder what it would be like to be a monk, could find out by coming and being one for a month.
It is true, and I would highly recommend it for this little on-the-spot moment. Yeah, I would absolutely highly recommend it. I'm so just kind of blown away. It's hard to find even words, but just the amount of ways that I realize now, and of course I kind of realize how much I probably don't realize also, like how much more I don't even see, but like just so much more possibility to see how conditioning was getting a hold of my life. And, you know, of course, I'm probably, you know, back in this, that, and the other thing, and I'll see different things. But just to, yeah, just to get such a sense of what is possible, and to see much more clearly how those possibilities are taken away by conditioning, and then to just be immersed in that environment with the amazing monks and the neighbors and everybody practicing in that way, it just lights up my practice in a way that I just cannot describe. So yeah, if anybody's thinking about it, go do it. It's great.
Uh-huh. You know, I know this is not what you want to talk about. We'll get to that.
No, it's wonderful.
But you know, I understand that. I don't know this, but I understand this from what I've read and heard, that in the Far East, where these kinds of religions are practiced all the time, it's a regular thing for people to come to the monastery. You know, it's considered it's not just an obligation and a duty in that sense, although it is, because it helps you be the best person you can be for your family and for society. And then as you get older and your life changes and you're preparing for that, the big transition, then to do even more of that, to become more centered and more in touch with the spiritual and that sort of thing. So I'm really hoping that that becomes a part of this culture too, where people just regularly plan their lives to be at the monastery for extended periods of time for exactly the reasons that you've described, because it just makes life better.
Exactly, absolutely, yeah. And just what you just said, I mean, that's a lot of what inspires me about our practice to begin with, and then to do the visiting monk program, to want to offer the best things that I can offer, to let life come through this being and be of service to this person and anybody else that has a chance of receiving something good. Yeah, it's just incredibly helpful. And yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I definitely am looking in my own life, and, you know, hope other people might be excited about that too, to see, you know, how to make this a regular occurrence. So yeah, it's wonderful, and thank you for offering it to everyone that does that. It's incredible.
Well, yeah, what did you want to
say? Well, that was great, but yeah, well, kind of along those lines, I've been looking at a lot of just, so, you know, what has been feeling like happened was, you know, there are a bunch of things I could say, but one thing I've been looking at is being there for the month felt like detoxing, you know, and on all levels. I mean, it sort of, you know, food and health and all kinds of things there. And of course, from, you know, from self-hate and the level of toxic conditioning that was just sort of, I don't think I had any idea the level that it was just always there in my life. And it felt like, yeah, just detoxing, I guess. And
well,
so
that's a really good image. I mean, because it's true. It's like living in a city, and the level of pollution and noise is just what a person is accustomed to. You don't realize that it's noise and pollution because it's just what the air is, and it's just the sounds of where you live. And then you come to a place with clean air and quiet, and realize what a toll that kind of thing takes on a human system.
Exactly.
And the
exactly.
same thing, as you're indicating, applies to self-hate or conditioning. You know, we get so used to it that we don't realize it's there. We start dropping it, and it's like, oh my God, how did I even have strength enough to crawl through that gate, for heaven's sake?
Exactly. You know, and I think if you would have asked me before I went, I might have said, you know, oh yes, you know, I've got this great practice. I think, you know, and obviously, I mean, it's brought tremendous things to my life. But then to see how much more is possible. It's sort of, I don't know where in the world I heard this, but somebody described something as, you know, if you think that life is good and you're always eating at McDonald's and you have no idea the level of beautiful, amazing food that's actually out there, you know? I don't know if it's quite that bad, but, you know,
Just... Well, that's clear, though.
right. I don't know. But, yeah, like kind of exactly, just seeing, and so, yeah, that's what I wish for my life and the way that I want to interact with other people and everything else is to come from that place, just seeing, yes, I was so used to, you know, the amount of conditioning and not even really thinking it was, you know, that bad or something. And then to see what's possible with what I project at the monastery and the detoxification, the stripping away, the self-purification, you know, all of that in practicing with that level of intensity for the months. Just amazing and exciting and then looking at, of course, now being back in the world, the ways that the toxins are really trying to, you know, creep back in all their different forms, namely conditioning, you know, introducing, you know, everything else. But yeah, just kind of looking at all of that.
And how to stay as conscious as a person can stay under the circumstances, because it is really hard. It's kind of conditioning is just, again, it's, you know, it's the air people breathe. It's just what's there. It's
yes.
Everybody's conversation. It is the level of noise. It's the bombardment of negative information coming from every direction. It's really difficult to kind of protect oneself.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
So we just do the best we can, right? You just,
well, exactly.
Practice
and that's,
as hard,
you know,
as you can where you are.
Exactly, and not buy into the standards, which are just going to be a setup and all that kind of stuff.
In fact, for sure. In fact, it can go
in
exactly the opposite direction. You know, instead of listening to voices of how you're this and you're that and there's this going on, the point of view that you could take on is, hey, I am doing an amazing job given the circumstances. You know, every day, you go along reminding yourself, wow, this is amazing. You know, you are really doing a great job of practicing in really difficult circumstances.
Yes, absolutely.
That'll set them off, I can tell you.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, definitely. It's just, it's really good to look at. And one way that I was kind of seeing it is it feels like before going to the monastery, a lot of, before the visiting monk program, like a lot of my self-care kinds of things, I would say, it felt like they were sort of reactive, more like, you know, the voices just really beat me up. So now, boy, I let me take really good care of this person who just got beaten up, kind of a thing, you know.
Yeah.
And now just having a sense, and again, in that way of like, hey, it's great that, you know, I'm excited that I'm even upright half the time with the amount of stuff that I'm up against, it feels like, in the world. But, you know, so appreciating every step and looking at ways to be kind of proactive, like before it gets to the point that someone is, you know, beaten down, and then let's take care of the person, like, you know, the food and the exercise and the care and the love and all of that being just, you know, first priority instead of when somebody's in such rough shape that, yeah, then let's take care of them.
Right. Yeah. Now they're beaten up. So we'll put on nice clean bandages and that's
right, exactly.
So, in the email class I was talking about combining recording and listening with something like taking a hot bath or taking a quiet walk in nature or whatever the person enjoys. And,
uh-huh.
and to me, that's a part of what you're talking about. So that, you know, first thing in the morning, I'm doing all of the things that are going to take care of me as I go out into my day. Partway through, I'm going to stop, and I know you've got a project going about this, your lunchtime. Lunchtime, help me.
lunchtime life support. And boy, does it feel like it.
Yeah, yes. So that partway through, you know, I can get together with other people who are coming back to center and practicing this, taking care of the human. And then at the end of the day, before I do anything else, I take some time to come to center and do the reassurances and the, you know, some recording and listening practice and those kinds of things, so that I do everything I can to avoid the beatings rather than, you know, as we say, applying the bandages afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. So I am very grateful, and I think if I go here, you might get another caller. So there's many more things to say, but I'll call back.
All right, good, Jen. Thank you. And is lunchtime life support on Sangha Market yet, or are you still working on it?
Not yet, but I'm getting really close. I anticipate being able to call the Thursday show soon and say that is so.
Okay, because that's great. You know, that is another. You know, we've got the awareness coaches, and we've got the, you know, all of these kinds of things that people can, the reflective listening buddies that people can have in their daily life, and that's another tremendous one. So in the middle of a stressful day, there's a way that you can call and make contact with people who are going to help us get back to kindness and compassion and center. So we're eagerly awaiting.
All right. Well, I'm eagerly working, and we'll keep you posted. Okay. So, all right. Thanks so much. Goodbye to everybody. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, should we try for one more here?
Yeah, it's going to be a short one, isn't it? But
we'll
do our best.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan from L.A.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. Okay, I'll make this. I'm checking back in. I called a while ago and talked to Jen, and I was talking about the phrase you use a lot, so does she, about learning how to let life live me.
Yes.
So I've sort of taken it as a personal colon.
Uh-huh, very good, very good.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand what that means without trying to figure it out.
Oh, you are making me incredibly happy here this evening. So you've taken it as a koan. You're looking at it with the spirit of inquiry, not trying to figure it out. Excellent.
Right, and just letting whenever it pops up in my mind of going, okay, well, this must be a moment of choice or something here that I'm even thinking of this koan one more time. So.
Huh?
So, you know, I had just been discovering things and looking at it. The first one was sort of that somehow it's tied to what my body's telling me versus what I'm thinking. Like, you're tired, you're hungry, you're tense, you're sad. And lately the other one, and it kind of goes back to the resistance classes around sort of that quiver, like, what is my heart longing for? But somehow
I love it. You said quiver, and I felt it. It's,
yeah.
it's like a code now, isn't it? You just have to say the word, and everything starts vibrating at that toward that magnet.
Oh, it's just wonderful to have a word for it, you know, because it was just sort of a body sensation, and then to have you talk about it and go, oh, my God, other people know this place.
Right.
I'm not nuts.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, so I just keep paying attention, and you know, and those are the two things. It's like following my heart. And the third one I realized today is that generally, if I'm letting life lift me, the word "should" is not involved.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. And it's I've often used this image, which is feeling like I'm going around through life, and there's a hand on my back. And it's not pushing, it's not even directing, but it's there. I can feel that it's there, and that I'm not alone. You know, I'm cared for. And to me, that's a big part of that feeling of life living this human being.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
So there's another one. You quiver and feel the hand.
No, I know. I can take that in. I mean, I have a sense of what you're saying, because it is, I wrote in the resistance class about have been a big worrier, and I said something about I've really been trying to, I've been thinking about worrying, and the first thing you wrote back was, stop thinking.
It's almost impossible to worry without thinking.
Yeah, if I disconnect those two things, it's like it has no oxygen.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think this letting life live me, Cohen, is kind of the opposite of worrying.
Yes, and isn't it wonderful to have something that to attend to in that way? You know, you're going along and there's this kind of a gap. There's nothing happening, and then what kind of floats up to fill it is this this life Cohen that you have, this question about life. And I swear it starts feeling like life is what's floating that up to consider in that quiet place. It's like a hint.
Yeah, and it's like of all the billions of thoughts or things that could float up, for that to float up is not a coincidence.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
And so that's what I'm paying attention to, and I promised myself I'd call back and report in from outer space here.
Good. Well, do that again, okay?
I will. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. You've been listening to Open Air. I'm quivering with delight over here, Sherry.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
Isn't it the best?
Yes. Lovely. Thanks for being here,
Michael.
Tonight. Okay. Talk to you next week.
All right. Good night.
Good night.